Having looked at Daniel and Matthew 24 in our past studies, we've prepared ourselves for these studies in the Revelation. We've referred to the book several times, and we'll now make a start on a closer look. So will you turn with me to the last book in the Bible, the Revelation? Revelation chapter 1. We must start by noting its title, which is The Revelation, not Revelations. The Greek word for revelation is apokalypsis, an unveiling, which gives us the word apocalypse, and you'll sometimes find that title used instead of the Revelation. Looking now at the first verse, we find it begins with the words, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. We're told in this verse that the unveiling, or revelation, concerns things which must shortly come to pass. And looking down to the end of verse 3, we find the words, for the time is at hand. Both these statements may seem puzzling, since the words were written about AD 96, concerning still future events. Several times we've said that no reference is made to the times in which we are living, because it could not be stated beforehand that the Jews would actually reject the continued call to repent. But here we can't say that. The rejection of the gospel message had already taken place. The Jews had already had their last opportunity as a nation to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had still refused. God was already dealing with the Gentiles independently of the Jews, and our times had begun. So that's not the answer. No, what we have to remember here is that John, to whom this revelation was given, was carried forward, as it were, into that yet future time, and from that standpoint, all these things would happen quickly. We've already seen that because of the terrible nature of these future days, the days shall be shortened for the elect's sake. These things have got to take place quickly once they start. Verses 1 to 3 form a little introduction, and then in verse 4 we find that John is passing on the message from the Lord to certain people. Verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Seven churches. That does not mean churches of bricks and stone. The Greek word here is ecclesia, which means to call out, a called out company of people. It's not a building where people worship, but a company of people who have been called out by the Lord for his service. Now these seven groups or companies of people, churches, are all in one particular part of the world, in Asia. So it's no use looking round England or any other part of Europe for any of these churches. You won't find them there. They're all in Asia. Another point to remember is that when John had this revelation given to him, Asia was not the great continent which we call Asia today. In fact, by looking at the map, you'll see that these seven churches can all be found in a comparatively small area. First, shall we read the list in the Bible, and then see these places on the map. Verse 11, chapter 1, verse 11, gives us the list. Chapter 1, verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Will you count on your fingers and make sure there are seven, as I read the list again? Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, will you look back to verse 9 to see where John was at the time when this was written? Verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, turning to the map, once again, I've not put in every little detail. There are many small islands in that part of the Mediterranean Sea, which I've left out, in order to make the map drawing easier for myself, and easier for you to see just what's wanted. First of all, can you see the island of Patmos? That was where John was when he received this revelation. Now looking at the nearest mainland, you'll see by the coast Ephesus and Smyrna. Now looking further inland, you'll see practically all in a row the other places. Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. As Mr. Welsh has pointed out, they're like stations on a railway. You see, they are real places, just as much as the Isle of Patmos. And one day these places will have churches, groups of believers, to whom a message is specially addressed in these following verses. Before we turn to those messages, though, we must look back at one or two other points. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, John said in verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." We've read similar words before in Matthew 24. The facts refer to the still future second coming of the Lord. Verse 8 is a word from the Lord himself. Verse 8, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Those of you who know some Greek will realize that Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, the first and the last. Will you look for a moment at verse 11? Verse 11, saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." And verse 17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." Also, you'll find those words repeated near the end of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter. Revelation 22, verse 13. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." So these words are at the beginning and at the end of the Revelation. Turning back to chapter 1 and verse 17, we'll read from the middle of that verse and straight on into verse 18. Chapter 1, middle of verse 17. "And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." The word hell would be better translated by the word grave. And it's those few words that give us an idea as to why we have this statement given to us at the beginning of the Revelation and again at the end. The Lord has the keys of the grave and of death. Whatever may happen to those who live through the terrible times foretold in the Revelation, God is still overruling. Not one of them will die unless he allows it. Satan will be allowed great control and will give great powers to the beast and the Antichrist, as we've already seen, but they can only go as far as God allows. That will be a precious thought to those believers who go through the Great Tribulation. God is still overruling. Verse 10 of chapter 1 is a verse that is often misunderstood. Verse 10. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Some people think that means that John was spiritually minded one Sunday, and as a result he was given this great revelation. The original Greek did not have that meaning at all. It's better to leave out the word the before spirit, and so read it, I was in spirit on the Lord's day. There are two contrasting periods of time, man's day and the Lord's day. The Lord's day will be that time when he comes to be the judge. It's a still future day to which John was taken in spirit, but not in reality. In reality, he was still living in AD 96 or thereabouts, and was in the Isle of Patmos. But in spirit, he was taken to a yet future time and shown things which will happen when that day comes. We said just now that the Lord's day will be when the Lord is the judge. And when we come to chapter 2, we shall see how the Lord judges those seven churches. But first we must finish chapter 1. We'll start reading again at verse 10. Verse 10. I was in spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks. Do you remember that when we were looking at Daniel, we saw that Daniel had a vision of the Lord, and it was so wonderful that Daniel said, There remained no strength in me. And he was in a deep sleep on his face and his face toward the ground. When talking about those verses, we referred to John's similar experience, and here it is, in chapter 1, verse 13. Verse 13, And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first, and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive for evermore, Amen. And have the keys of the grave and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Some of this is now explained in verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now follows in chapters 2 and 3 the messages to the seven churches. The same order is kept as in chapter 1 verse 11, where they are listed. Also, we read in the last verse of chapter 1 verse 20 that the seven stars were the angels associated with these churches, and the seven candlesticks represented the seven churches themselves. In each case, the messages sent are addressed not direct to the people, but to the angels specially associated with these companies of believers. Again, thinking back to our studies in Daniel, do you remember that we saw there that Michael the archangel will stand particularly for the people of Israel? Perhaps we should look at it again, but try to keep a finger in Revelation while you turn back to Daniel 12. Verse 1. Daniel 12. Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Angels are in no way associated with us. We don't see angels, but they are associated with Israel. Another point to note is that when the tabernacle was made in the wilderness, back in the time of Moses, a six-branched candlestick was made. Now, six branches, plus one central stem to which the branches were attached, made seven lamp holders in all. They should really be called lamp holders and not candlesticks, because it was not candles but oil that was used in the lamp holders. The tabernacle and all connected with it was specially associated with Israel, as you probably know already. Turning back to verse 5 of Revelation 1, verse 5, we find it says halfway through the verse, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." John is writing about people who were made kings and priests. Now, in God's sight and in the true Bible sense, those who were made kings and priests were Israel, and no Gentile came in there. So now, the connection which the Revelation has with the book of Daniel, the references to angels, the lamp holders, and kings and priests, all these things tell us that the book is addressed to Israel. It concerns that still future time when God will once again be dealing with Israel. All the same, we can read it and get some help from it. Looking now at chapters 2 and 3, we shall find there a message sent to each of the seven churches or assemblies. It's not the same message to all of them, but a separate message according to their individual needs and conditions. They'll read each other's messages, and others living at that time will read them too, but it will be necessary for all to remember who each message is addressed to, as some things may not apply to anyone else. each assembly will gain the greatest help from their own particular message. Of course, the same applies to us. We can read these messages and learn from them, but they will never mean as much to us as they will to those assemblies to whom they are addressed. It's the same with the whole Bible. Some parts are intended particularly for Israel, and we shall not get our fullest blessing from those books. It's when we turn to those parts of the Bible which have been specially written for Gentile believers living in these times that we get the most help and blessing. There are some points of likeness in each message, so we'll look at one or two of these first. Each message has towards its end the same words. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We'll just see this at the end of the first message, but if you want to check that it comes in each message, you can easily do so for yourselves. At the end of the message to the angel of the church of Ephesus, then, in verse 7, that's chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, in each case, either just before these words, or just after, we have the words, To him that overcometh. Verse 7 continued in that way. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To Smyrna the message is, verse 11, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. To Pergamos, verse 17, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. To Thyatira, verse 26, And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. To Sardis, chapter 3, verse 5, Verse 5, He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. To Philadelphia, verse 12, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Lastly, to the Laodiceans, verse 21, To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. All these people will be believers who will have had a very hard time to face. There will be overcomers, those who in spite of great hardship will still remain faithful to God. In each case, those who are overcomers will be rewarded in accordance with the promises we've just read. To each of these seven assemblies, a different statement is made concerning the Lord. In several cases, the words are a repetition of something said in chapter 1. But this is not the case all the way through. We'll look at the first one just to give you an example. In chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Looking back to chapter 1, the second half of verse 12 says, chapter 1, verse 12, the second half of it, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. And in verse 16, it says, and he had in his right hand seven stars. Each of these assemblies have their own message and their own description of the Lord according to their individual needs. There's another point of likeness throughout, though. To each of these assemblies, the Lord says, I know thy works. Now, works have never saved anyone. I hope you know quite well by now that you're not saved, but that you are saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and no works of yours are involved. But after you've believed, it's only right for you to act in accordance with God's will and do what he wishes you to do. That is where works come in. You receive salvation as a free gift by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But after that, if you're willing to work for the Lord, he will reward you for it. These seven churches or assemblies will obviously consist of people who already believe, and so it's quite appropriate for the Lord to refer to the extent of their work. Shall we look at each one? First, Ephesus. Chapter 2, verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labour, and thy patience. Of Smyrna, he says, verse 9. I know thy works. Of Pergamos, verse 13. I know thy works. To Thyatira, he says, verse 19, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Well, those people seem to be doing well, don't they? But we must see another side in a minute. Let us go on to the next assembly, Sardis, chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1, in the middle of the verse, I know thy works. To Philadelphia, verse 8, I know thy works. Lastly, to the Laodiceans, verse 15, I know thy works. Well, having seen the similarity between these messages, we must take each message in turn and see their individual nature. But that we must leave for next time. So in the meantime, may the Lord bless and keep you. Amen.